I don't have a price. I'm not a pound of zombie takeout. I'm a primatologist. What's up? Welcome to episode 221 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, got a little bit of news. This is from, well, ultimately from Coming Soon, but via IO9 Morning Spoilers. It's just a short thing on Independence Day 2. Fox has moved the release date to June 24th, 2016, which means that it's now competing directly with the Universal Mummy reboot. Also, that's further away from July 4th than the original date of July 1st. Now, this isn't really much information, except I wanted to point out it's competing with the Mummy reboot. We have the sequel for Independence Day 20 years later and the Mummy reboot at the same time.
What are movies no one wanted, Alex, for 200?
Looks like 2015 is going to be an incredible year. And then 2016 is going to be this.
Oh, those are talking about 2016. Huh?
Yes, summer of 2016, they're both being released.
Well, for the Star Wars movies, they're not doing Lucas's three-year rule, right? They're going to be putting out one every year.
I don't know. They might do alternate years for the trilogy and then put the standalones in the middle.
That would confuse people, I think.
But I don't recall what the release plan is for that.
Right. I think they are planning pretty much like a Marvel, you know, instead of a Marvel movie, it's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, they're going to flood, and there will be a Star Wars movie of some sort in 2016, most likely. Around Christmas. That's where they're starting, so that's probably where they're going to hit every year.
Going for that Oscar bait, huh?
Oscar bait also, it's cold outside, so people tend to go into the theaters.
I was joking.
I know you were
that's
joking.
That's the way to go for Oscar bait.
Well, in terms of, you know, the main awards, it's a joke, but special effects awards.
Yeah, and they should have won in the years they had movies out. It was kind of ridiculous that they didn't win for special effects.
And, I mean, the seal has been broken. Inception was up for Best Picture, so we've had a science fiction film nominated for Best Picture.
Wow, you think we really could see a Star Wars film actually take the Best Picture? One has been nominated. Episode 4.
Oh, it was? Okay.
Episode 4 was up for Best Picture and lost out to Annie Hall, infamously.
It's a pipe dream, but I would like to see it. And I'm hopeful, you know, given that Inception has broken that streak of no science fiction.
Never know.
All right, just one more quick thing to mention. It's a little out of our wheelhouse since it deals with a TV series, but the Resident Evil movies will be transitioning to a TV series after the next film. The final movie in the series is released at some unspecified time. They're not even starting to shoot it until summer of next year. I love the movies. I'm really looking forward to this. Also, we decided just before recording tonight that we will be reviewing the Resident Evil movies starting at the beginning of the year. We're taking the first five movies straight in a row. That's
in one episode.
Oh, yeah, because we didn't want to kill each other enough after the trilogy. No, over 5 weeks, of course.
Yes.
So it'll be, you know, a month and change of Resident Evil movies. Yeah, it'll get interesting. Because you've never seen them, right?
No.
I love them, but for all the wrong reasons. So stay tuned for that. All right, so on to this week's movie, which is from 1995, Congo. And, of course, the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Needless Accents. When you absolutely positively need to go that extra step to show off your acting ability, try a Needless Accent. It has to work eventually.
And also brought to you by Accents in General. Once you use one, you really need to stick with it throughout the movie.
One accent per film is generally the recommended dose.
All right. Wow. So, could be... I you know, we thought we saw Convoluted for Ricochet, but really, this doesn't go as far as plans, but plots.
And actually, this one we're reviewing for similar reasons as Ricochet.
Yeah.
It was a movie we had high hopes for that was sorely disappointing. Continue.
Right. So, let me see if I can explain this clearly. We have a group of scientists who were out there in the field in the Congo, who were recovering some, or not recovering, finding some diamonds to source their laser. I'm using the quotes as I say
And the
them
doctor
with
evil
reverse,
voice.
right? And they wind up getting killed finding just as they find these diamonds. It looks like by some crazy ape-like thing. So what this big corporation that had sent them out there sends another scientist out to find them. And not just an expedition of her own, but he wants her to commandeer somebody else's expedition who just happens to be going out there. No one specific, just find someone who's on their way out there and go. So they do. They find another scientist who is working with in the field of apes or gorillas, sorry.
Well, primates in general. He's a
Yeah,
primatologist.
primates in general. He's
But he's working with a gorilla at the moment.
he's training this gorilla in sign language, and neat little breakthrough of a translator, to make it give the appearance of the gorilla the ability of speech almost.
As it signs, the computer voice says what it's signing.
Sure. So they are funded by a well, I guess you could call him a fortune hunter, and although he doesn't really have the money to get them out there, so I'm not sure what that plan was going to entail.
And an aspiring fortune hunter.
Yes, an aspiring fortune hunter who has failed in his attempts to find this elusive fortune, the same diamonds that said scientists were looking for at the beginning of the film. So, you got all this. Of course, the people that don't have the money get commandeered by the big corporation scientists' money, and they go out together, even though they keep complaining about going out together, and they get lost kind of in the Congo after like some political infighting and some other racial stereotypes are thrown our way.
Spend most
They
of the movie getting to the interesting stuff.
right. They finally get to the source of the diamonds, which also happens to be right near where the gorilla is from. And hilarity. Well, it turns out what had killed the original crew were apes or gorillas that were trained by the ancients to be nasty killer gorillas. Pretty much the same breeding of dogs, when they can breed nastiness into them. And so what many people describe as the plot to this movie as them finding this race of killer gorillas and fighting them was really only about 15 minutes of the plot, actually. Because once they are there, they're fighting the gorillas in this one scene or these few scenes.
Last
A
20
vol
minutes of the film.
a volcano launch erupts, and then they're dealing
Yes.
with that. Hilarity ensues.
Now, I'm just glancing through my notes as you were, going into the plot summary, and I noticed that I have possibly the biggest understatement I have ever made. Quote unquote, from my notes, Curry's accent is a bit ridiculous.
Yes. Why? Why? Tim Curry was the fortune hunter in question. Why did they have to make him Romanian? You know what? I was assuming that he was going to be a con man
Yes.
and not really
It
Romanian.
turned out to have his normal British accent at some point
Right.
because there's a scene where he's yelling at, I think it was Ernie Hudson's character, and he slips. His English accent comes out.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that's the point where, because I mean, I haven't seen this since 95 when it was in theaters. I thought maybe that's the point where, okay, the jig is up. They know who he is, and he goes into his normal voice.
Right.
Doesn't happen. He's quote unquote Romanian for the entire film.
Right. So why not make him British?
There's no reason.
Right.
Doesn't have to be Romanian. Much like Julie Benn's character from Boondock Saints 2 didn't have to be from the South.
Right. I think there's people that mistake being from a region as being a character in general.
Yes.
So, he's Eastern European. That's his character.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't
And
really work.
there was a lot of that. The two guys were scientists. That's their
Yes,
character.
that was their character. They were scientists. And I really didn't like them. And you know what? And the more I thought about it, at first I was like, yo, I didn't like their performance. No, their performance was fine. I just didn't like them.
Really, I was kind of ambivalent about them, much like most of the film. I just
Well, yeah,
didn't really pay a lot of
exactly.
attention.
They were there, but they needed to be more than just there because they, well, I mean, one of them was the lead.
Yeah. Dylan Walsh,
He's,
yeah.
yeah. So he had to be more than just there. But the problem is, his character was nothing. Like, there was nothing he could do with that. He
Is
was a
it?
scientist, a nice guy, earnest, and that was pretty much it.
And yes, for the Night Vale fans, he's a scientist.
He loves gorillas, but had no problem with them fucking wasting the room of gorillas.
Yeah, who were about to kill them. Which I
Right.
guess, when your life is in danger, it does change your ethics a little bit.
And did he seem like he was acting like his life was in danger at any point in that?
No.
No. He stood there, he lied there. Even when he was in the greatest peril, his thing was just to sit there.
And I think it does speak to the performance more so than the character.
There's nothing to do.
Yeah, true.
If there's nothing in the script for him to do, what's he supposed to do with that as an actor?
But there was something in the script for the other scientist to do, and it irritated me the entire time. There,
Oh,
he
yeah.
was playing this friends growing apart angle,
Yeah.
which was just annoying.
It didn't belong. Yeah, it was out. I mean, I could see maybe he was trying to add something to make some
Yeah.
form of drama into this movie.
Right.
Because really, that is the problem of this movie. There is absolutely no drama whatsoever in this movie.
To me, the most compelling part of the film is Amy's story, the gorilla.
The most compelling part is how long can they keep those fucking accents going? That was it. That really was it. I was that is what I have my notes. Like, what I'm wondering, how long can they keep an accent going for 15 straight minutes? And the answer was no,
No,
honestly.
no, no. But Amy's story, she was raised in captivity, learned to sign, then she was brought to Africa. They showed that she doesn't know how to communicate with other gorillas. And then, little by little, she is taken in by them, and eventually she ends up staying. That was a nice story.
The problem with that is, though, would a gorilla in captivity really survive in the wild?
Well, that's why they showed her, meeting with those other gorillas very tentatively in that one scene.
Yeah.
They were taking her in and showing her how to become what she already was, effectively.
Yeah. Would that really work, though? Could you take
I don't
an
know.
animal, raise it in captivity, and then just release it out into the wild?
I don't know. I was just grasping at straws for something interesting to watch in this film. And that was it for me. Now, just rolling back to I think what is the most disappointing thing about the film.
Oh, there's so many disappointment things. I
But
mean,
I think back in 95, the thing that was disappointing, Tim Curry, Bruce Campbell in the same movie, Joey Pants is even in the movie,
right.
and it's still this bad. Bruce has a cameo, which was actually slightly larger than I thought it was. I remembered him having one scene, he has maybe two or three.
The odd thing was, this was before Scream did like the stunt,
Yeah.
of making it look like someone else was starring in it
Yeah, the
and
Drew
then killing them
Barrymore scene at the
off.
beginning, right?
That's what I immediately thought of when I saw this, and I just assumed Scream came
Nope.
before this. But yeah, I don't even think they realized Bruce Campbell who he is, honestly.
They had no idea. He was a random actor who they gave a small role to. Incidentally, he auditioned for the role of Dr. Peter Elliott.
Right.
The
Think
scientist.
Of how much better this movie would have been if he had taken Dylan Walsh's character.
Strikes me he might be a bit old for the role.
Oh, yeah.
But probably only because I saw Dylan Walsh in the role and he's a lot younger.
Yeah. Because Campbell would have found something to have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the only person who really saved this movie from me wanting to find Frank Marshall and doing something nasty to his house.
Yeah.
Because really, he is to blame for a lot of this. The person that makes this, that puts some brains on the board for this.
Okay, I'm very interested.
Ernie Hudson, of course.
Yeah, he was his usual decent. You know, he was solid. He was...
He was into this completely.
He committed.
I mean, his accent, you know, was shaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I didn't even realize he was doing an accent until you mentioned it before the show.
That's really sad. But yes, he was shaky in his accent, but he wasn't doing it as heavily, mm-hmm. so it was a bit more forgivable that he was shaky with it.
Yeah.
Not unlike Tim Curry, who was just like, I am from Eastern Europe. Like he was doing his Balky impression or something. But yeah, Ernie Hudson, I think, carried this as much as he could.
And speaking of Hudson, and something really unbelievable with regard to the gorilla, Amy, there's a scene when they're on the plane and Amy's kind of getting up in his face. When you know, they find out that you know he double-crossed them or led them to believe something that wasn't true. He takes a cigar and puts it in Amy's mouth, and Amy just kind of chills out and smokes the cigar.
Yeah. Skydiving with a gorilla. Wonder how that would work.
And before this scene, they were kind of yelling, and it got very heated. And first off, in that scene, Amy would either get sick or get violent. That's what animals do.
Yeah.
So the fact that she just kind of calmly walked over and tried to intimidate him was unrealistic. But then the cigar just was the capper.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you say Ernie Hudson, of course, the performance I think of outside of this would be Ghostbusters, where he was the guy who was, you know, just, I can't believe this shit is happening.
It was the audience perspective.
Right. Whereas here... You know, he is, you know, kind of the suave, sophisticated guide or Virgilian, you know, role, you know, to this movie where he takes them to.
And speaking of where they're going, couldn't Crichton have come up with a better word than Zinge? It sounds like something Blizzard rejected for an island in World of Warcraft. And I checked, it isn't a real place. It's a fictional place that Crichton came up with. Incidentally, this is based on a Michael Crichton novel.
I thought Zinge was something when you, like, yank down somebody's sweatpants in gym class. No?
So, Crichton has done this and Jurassic Park.
And this was just a few years after Jurassic Park, so they were expecting...
He's kind of big. He's supposedly good.
They
Crichton,
were expecting... this to be huge.
Because Jurassic Park had Spielberg. This had Frank Marshall.
Yeah.
Incidentally, I looked up Marshall's IMDb page.
Of course, I had to too. Like, what else has this guy done?
Not much as a director. He did Arachnophobia, which I have issues with, of course, but a lot of people like. His producer credits are far more interesting.
Oh, yeah. He's produced, like, over 100 movies.
And there's a lot of good on there. He's done a lot of the Studio Ghibli stuff. And there's, you know, other good stuff. And then I saw Last Airbender. So his production credits are kind of all over the map. Not a lot in terms of directing for obvious reasons. Although this movie did have something I don't think I've ever seen in a film before. Probably, and this is probably more down to Crichton. I'm sure it was in the book. There was a hippo attack.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a hippo attack in a film?
No.
That was fascinating.
That was very unusual. It was kind of a one of those what the fuck moments. It was a very rare what the fuck moment, honestly, because most of this was just, okay, we know, you know, We know everything already.
They're on a couple of rafts crossing this little river, and you see something in the water kind of bobbing up and down, but you can't really tell what it is. I am sure, like you, assumed it was an alligator.
Yeah.
Or a croc, or whatever is in that part of the
Something,
world.
yeah.
I think it's crocs in that part of the world. It turns out it's a hippo. Completely caught me off guard.
And that was one of the very few moments where it was just kind of like, whoa, I didn't see that coming kind of thing. But you knew they were going to get attacked by something, you just didn't know what it was.
Although I have to admit, when they were walking into the lost city of Zinj, I kind of half expected them to like find a fast food joint and have the whole movie turn into a commercial. I don't know why it just felt that way. Like they were gonna walk into like a Burger King.
All of a sudden, the movie was going to be like The Village or something, where it was just like, oh no, this is just the normal world.
And again, I've pointed out we don't see the gray gorillas, the villains, up until the last 20 minutes.
Right, and but I don't know if it was the last 20 minutes.
Roughly, I looked at the time.
Oh, okay. But their part is not even that long. I've read some reviews. After watching the
They
movie,
show up at 20 minutes before the end. They're only there for maybe 10.
there are synopsis and reviews of this that make it sound like it's the humans against the gorillas.
For most of the movie, yeah.
Yeah,
Not so much. One, two
like
scenes.
that is the plot of the movie that they're giving. That jumbled mess I did for a plot summary was because most of it is just them getting there. There's nothing going on
Vast
except
majority
this
of the
thing.
film is getting from A to B, getting to the interesting stuff, like I said before, and then.
Getting from point A to point B, there's some political strife in the middle, but when I say there's no drama in the movie, I'm not talking about like it has to be a melodramatic thing, will
No.
they make it, will they not? I'm just talking about your basic literary dramatic question. It's like,
Conflict.
right, conflict. We like 'cause here's the problem. We know that the crew that she's going towards is all dead. They confirmed it. They give the spoilers. We're not giving any spoilers. They show a bunch of mangled bodies. There are two that they don't see, that there are two that are most important to them.
I mentioned that when I first saw this in the theater, I was disappointed that Bruce's role was so small.
Yeah.
They have that initial scene where you see the gorilla attack, and I knew at the time, that's it, he's dead.
Well, right. Like, he's a goner. You know he's a goner even before the gorilla attack. You know as soon when he doesn't give his satellite coordinates,
Yeah, true.
when he gets cut off before he gives her the coordinates, you know he's a goner. They couldn't. It's almost like the movie Hot Shots with the guy Dead Meat.
But that's the end of his scene. That's the last time you see him before the ending.
Right.
So
And then
at
the
that
other
point, I
thing.
knew he was done.
When they do find their one associate over there, how the fuck is he where he's at?
Yeah.
If they're in Zinj and he gets killed in Zinj, and they have to be at Zinj because they found the diamonds,
Right.
how, like, I assumed when they found him that they were where they needed to be, and then the movie was going to finally begin.
Somehow this tribe of natives, the Shadow People or whatever they were called,
Right.
found
I
the
don't
guy.
know. That was really probably the most uncomfortable part of the whole movie,
Yeah.
where they're just, having the black people go ooga booga. It's just kind of like a, I don't know.
And it reminded me a lot, for some reason, of Beyond Thunderdome,
Yeah.
which isn't a good thing either.
But anyway, this tribe, they find him.
Somehow in Zinj.
Well, no. They said they found him. And they have not, they specifically say they have not moved him
Oh,
because
that's
of the
right.
spirit. He
Right.
has to stay where he's at because his spirit will not be able to find his body. So, how the fuck did he get there? Because they were nowhere near Zinj. They were like, what, a half hour away from Zinj at that point.
By car. Nobody could have walked all
Yes.
that way injured.
They fucking go through car. They drive for miles. How did he make it there? He was dead. I thought that was the eyeball that they threw at Bruce Campbell, actually. It just made no sense.
No. Well, very little of this movie makes
Right.
sense. Also, A big criticism of the film is the special effects, and a lot of them are clearly guys in suits. Talking about the girls, of course, are guys in suits or animatronic.
Yeah, those special effects are hideous.
Director Frank Marshall originally intended to use the computer work pioneered on Jurassic Park for the gorillas, but opted for models as the computers weren't capable of rendering hair, quite well enough for his standards.
Well, I think the most embarrassing was the lava.
Oh, God. Okay, first off, the initial eruption looked straight out of an Asylum movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was that cutaway to stock footage thing that Asylum does all the time. And then they show the lava flowing and coming up from the ground, and that was like out of an early 80s B movie.
Oh, definitely. It was really embarrassing. That was just kind of like the, ooh, that was just high in cringe factor.
Yeah.
And then the gorillas jumping into the lava. What the fuck was that? What? And seriously, Crichton should know this, that animals know when a natural disaster is
Yes.
going to occur before us. When that volcano is going to launch, they would all get the fuck out of there,
Right.
and the humans would be sitting there going, "What's going on? We better follow them."
And even if they didn't make it out, everything has a survival instinct. No one is going towards the hot thing.
Right. They would
Animals
commit
even more so than humans.
suicide. Animals don't kill themselves. What the
Oh.
fuck? Not in mass droves like that.
Although I do have to give them credit for observing Chekhov's laser.
Chekhov's laser.
They show, Bruce Campbell with this late diamond-powered laser, or the diamond focuses the laser early on in the film, and she uses it at the end to take out the gorillas. So, they get a little credit for that.
Only if Campbell was one-handed and mounted the laser on the stump,
Yeah.
then they would have gotten credit for that.
Well, at least they observed it. Although
Little
I am deliberately not nitpicking any of the laser stuff.
who's laughing now, I mean.
She takes a hand-powered, a handgun laser, effectively, and shoots a satellite. Not even gonna bother.
It could punch a hole in the moon. Oh my God.
Think I'm done with my notes.
I think I am too. And I think this goes with your cigar smoking gorilla.
Yeah.
They give the gorilla a martini.
Yeah, she requests a martini, actually.
Now, no problem there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The swizzle stick. However,
Yeah.
what do you think a gorilla would do if you handed them a drink with a swizzle stick in it? With food on the swizzle stick
Yeah, either
in the
eat
form
the
of
stick
olives.
or put out its eye or something.
They'd
Yeah.
choke on it.
Yeah. Probably try to eat it and joke, yeah.
Right, they would drink down the drink and then wind up choking on the swizzle stick.
Yeah.
It's just insane the way that they're treating animals like people, and yet the natives not so
Yeah,
much.
no.
So it was a very weird script too.
I would love to know if that's Crichton or Marshall, or the screenwriters in between.
I'd have to imagine it was Crichton.
Yeah, probably. I tend to agree.
Like Crichton, writing about the tribe, and I mean, who knows about the swizzle stick, of course, but the general, treating the gorilla as a human, as a fellow human that can talk and stuff and have opinions of people. I think that's Crichton.
All right, so no sequels
God,
or
no.
remakes. Hopefully there will
God,
never
no.
be a remake. I don't really think there's a way to do this right.
It's a genre that's been long dead
Yeah,
and
for good reason.
deservedly
Yeah.
so, yeah.
All right, so on to brains.
On to brains.
This one, honestly, for me, was right down the middle. It wasn't particularly bad. It wasn't particularly good. The things that were particularly bad were balanced by some good. So I'm going 2.5.
I'm right there with you. I'm giving this two brains for Ernie Hudson alone, and I'm giving it half a brain for the one scene where Tim Curry was improvising with That general. I
Yeah.
think the general was in, went off script there.
When he told them to stop eating the cake? Yeah,
Yes.
that was a good scene.
That was fucking hilarious. And I doubt that was in the script.
No.
I mean, maybe it could be. I could be wrong. But I think that just because it contradicted what he said in the first place,
Right.
and Curry rolled with it, and that was the only time that Curry's talents were actually used in this film. Other than that, this was just the paycheck sticking out of the back
Yeah.
pocket.
All right, so what have we learned?
Lava isn't nearly as hot as I thought it was.
And I learned that gadgets have features. All right, so until next time when we'll be revealing Mano's Hand of Fate, and not the MST3K version, the actual original film.
Oh, yeah.
This, like I said before, Brother Resident Evil movies, this is gonna be interesting, because I've seen, of course, the MST3K version, but I have tried to watch the actual film once or twice.
The difference, though, is no one was expecting that movie to be a blockbuster like this one was.
Yeah.
So much talent, so much waste. That one, I'm guessing not so much talent.
Not so much, no. Well, you've seen the Misty version, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't even seen Misty. Oh.
Yeah, so I'm going into this blind. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, this is gonna be good.
Yes.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links
Unless I
to
destroy my computer in a fit of rage.
find. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. You can also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review, up through currently the end of the year, but as I mentioned, beginning of the year, 5 weeks of Resident Evil.
What is our Christmas movie to be determined, I think,
Well,
is
yes,
our.
Christmas is TBD at the moment. So we need to find another good Christmas movie, or we're doing the Silent Night, Deadly Night sequel.
Oh, I hope not.
We also find the request form. If you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form. Also, if you've got a good Christmas movie that will save us from Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, please leave it on the request form. You also find the recommendations list. This never had a diamond's chance in
Oh,
Zinge.
John.
Couldn't resist. Couldn't resist. Of course, you can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerically challenge,
You can just sign it into your phone,
414-368-9861.
and your voice will the numbers.
Of course, always remember that you'll always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
go.
you are.
You sons of bitches ruined the world.
Side note, outtake probably. I know we love Needs More Campbell, but I just thought of Chekhov's laser.
No, I'll stick with Need More Campbell
Okay.
because it did.